going soon, and very soon we are going. Soon and very soon we are going. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
No more crying then, no.
We are going. No more crying then, we are going. No more crying then, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
No more dying.
No more dying then, we are going. No more dying then, we are going to see the King. No more dying then, we are going. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going. Soon and very soon, we are going to be. Soon and very soon, we are going. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
See my Jesus there, we are going up the mountain.
See my Jesus there, gonna see the King.
I see my Jesus there, we are going. See my Jesus there, gonna see the King.
See my Savior
there, we are going.
See my Savior there, gonna see the King.
See my Savior there, we are going.
See my Savior there, gonna see the King.
Amen, church. You may be seated now.
Good morning. Proverbs 31:31 says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This time, in honor of Mother's Day, to honor all the mothers in here, we would like to show a special video.
Just give me 1 second.
Thank
sure. you. Sorry. Hey. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Oi.
Hi, nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that.
Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive.
First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts.
You must be able to wear several hats.
Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night.
Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Awesome is that. So that Proverbs, honor her for all that her hands have done, is so fitting. And so in honor of Mother's Day, we would like for all the moms in here to please stand up so we can honor you. So please stay standing. We have a special gift that we would like to honor you with. All the tears, I know. Thank you again.
It's always important to acknowledge and recognize individuals, especially those who are special and dear to us. And on behalf of the Westchester Church, again, we want to recognize and acknowledge all of our mothers here today. You know, It's no secret that moms do a lot. And moms, you know, I was watching the video and looking at the expression on the people's faces when they heard the responsibilities of the, what was the executive? Yeah, executive director. I know my man was like, oh, I'm gonna get paid for this one. Like he had his suit on, he was ready. He was ready to hear what the funds were gonna be like. You know, I definitely want to not try to, I was thinking about this morning and I was saying to myself, you know, one of the things I don't want to do is preach to our moms. I don't wanna preach to the moms today. You get a lot in your daily lives. And although we are gathered here as a body and we will hear the word preached today, I don't want to preach at you today. I want to inspire you and encourage you this morning. And all those who are not only moms, but dads, you can listen. You can keep your ears open a little bit. But today, I wanted to share a story about some moms. Now, some of these moms aren't, you know, you probably heard of them, but they're not really known in the scriptures. You can't really find them named in the scriptures, but I'll share a little bit in a few minutes. But this story is about how moms who faced adversity and challenges that they also decided in those moments to have hope. And when I think about mothers today, in all kinds of moms, you have, you know, husbands and wives that you have moms that are married, you have moms that are singles, you have grandparents, you have non-traditional moms and traditional moms, all kinds of moms. And what I think about is being able to be a mom with hope. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to be a mom without hope, because being a parent is a very difficult thing. And so today, that's where I would like to help us think about and just kind of look into the story of these moms. So I'll open up with this quote. A mother who has hope can see beyond her fears. And I find this quote particularly special today because I think about my own fears sometimes and how it can grip me and it can cause me to stand still, or it can cause me to run away because I'm paying attention to now. But the thing about hope is that hope is not now. Hope is always in the future. And so when I think about this quote, a mother who has hope can see beyond her fears, it helps exemplify the idea that despite the circumstances, that moms can put their hope into something that's going to happen or something that's in the distant future and not be seized by the moment. Because moms have fears, right? That is a true statement, that moms do carry fears. And some of you know these fears. Some of these fears keep you up at night. Some of these fears concern your children. Will they learn the lessons I'm trying to teach them? Will they grow up to be responsible adults? Will they make smart decisions and wise decisions? Will they follow the faith? Will they keep their rooms clean? Right? These are the fears that seem to keep us up at night, moms. Moms have fears. And it's true for all different types of moms. Again, you have moms who are grandparents. Maybe they're raising their grandkids for one reason or another. You may have some single moms. You have all types of different types of moms. And yet, a mother who has hope can see beyond her fears. You understand the difficulties in navigating fears in your life. And even to our single women here in the congregation, in Psalm 68, verses 6, it says, God places the lonely in families. You may have fears that you're not gonna have any kids. That might be a fear that you may have. But the scripture tells us that God has placed you in a family. So even though you may not have traditional kids, but because you are part of a family, you can still play a role of a mom. You can still play a role of a mentor, big sister, auntie. So God does not just focus simply on moms of a traditional sense, right? Like there's room for all to play a role of a mom. But today, again, I wanted to talk about the story of different moms today. And we're gonna pick up in Exodus chapter 1. Now, the first point is my fear, because I do acknowledge and recognize that moms do have fears, right? And so this story is going to really show what some of the fears that these moms had to face in Exodus. Now, back in Exodus chapter 1, just to give you some context, this is we're now in a time of ancient Egypt, right? And so the Israelites are under the rule of Pharaoh. And so at this time, because of Pharaoh's fear of the Israelites growing too numerous, he puts out an order that he wanted all firstborns to be killed of the Hebrew slaves. And the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, were the ones to carry this out. And so you could imagine what that must feel like to hear that now your family is being threatened, your future, because these sons will ultimately grow up and get married and have more kids and the name can live on. And so if you eliminate all these sons, you're eliminating an entire generation, an entire people. And so I could only imagine, I'm not a mother, but I am a parent, and I could only imagine what that would feel like. And these midwives, they had to carry this task out. To hear that a newborn son will be taken because of a misplaced fear of Pharaoh. Again, fear can cause people to do some horrific things and make some incredible decisions. And these conditions would be a fear of any parent, regardless of where you are. The Hebrew midwives were tasked to carry out this unbelievable task. And when moms, when your back's against the walls, the question is, how are you gonna respond, right? Because again, we're not talking about simply losing your family, but even the things that you face today, those fears, when you're against the wall and your situation and circumstance is not favorable, you know, what decisions will you make out of your fear? Again, I remind you, a mother who has hope does not give away to fear. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 17, it says, "The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live." Now, again, the midwives, they understood the circumstance. They understood what could be, what would be the consequence if they were to carry this out. Forget about, you know, eliminating a whole generation, but their own lives would be at stake. Because if they're going against the rule of Pharaoh, then you already know that their chances are their lives are gone. But you see, these midwives, they decided, although they may be afraid, we're gonna put our hope in God. And they didn't let their fear grip them and paralyze them or cause them to make decisions that would have been against what they believed God would have agreed to. And so I look at these women, and I want to give them names too, because I don't want to just say women, right? These the two midwives in particular we're talking about are Shifra and Pua. These two women decided that their fear of God was going to be greater than their fear of Pharaoh. That's inspiring. In a time of desperation, I know for myself, there are times where I'm desperate and I'm being ruled by the moment or by the emotion or the fear itself. And I'll make decisions that afterwards I look back and like, man, I could have done that differently. I could have handled that differently. But Shifra and Pua decided not to. They decided that they were going to put their fear of God above their fear of Pharaoh. And because they decided to do that, it says in Exodus chapter 1, verses 21, because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Because God is just and God is faithful. This is an amazing thought to have as you are living in the days of today. Moms facing all different types of challenges and different circumstances. that you can see that, man, there's a place, if I put my fear in God above even my own circumstance, blessings will come. For these midwives, blessings came. They were able to have their own families because of the decision they've made in a time of difficulties and tough times. You know, I think about the same quote, a mother who has hope can see beyond her fears. Again, because of the fear, how it can grip you. Hope is about tomorrow. Sometimes the fear typically is about right now. It's about what's happening right now. It's about what am I experiencing or what am I feeling right now. And hope is a mindset. It's a decision in your mind that you can make to continue down the path that allow you to receive the blessings that God has always promised, because he is just and he is faithful. You know, I was thinking about, you know, how when I was young, I was about maybe 12 or 13 years old, and I thought about my mom and how in her time of fear of what could be, she made a decision to move me and my sister from New York to Miami. Now, she knew without knowing that this was the best decision. For me at the time, I thought it was the worst decision. But I think about everything that transpired, everything that took place after we moved from New York, and I think about where I am today. It reminds me again how when a mother who has hope does not give way to fear. And so I wanted to acknowledge my mom. She's here today. I wanted to thank her for her courage. I wanted to thank her for her courage and her faith, because again, if it wasn't for that decision, I probably would not be here today in my life. Probably wouldn't be what it is. It was because of that decision, at some point I became a Christian. And again, every mom faces tough decisions. Every mom has to face them. Whether it's about, am I gonna reprimand this knucklehead for not cleaning his bed? If I'm gonna get on top of him not doing his homework? Am I gonna take this time to pray with him or pray for them? All these things add up. Because you are a mom and you wear these hats and you wear them well. Now I want to talk about hope a little bit, because again, the situation in Egypt did not get better. Yes, those midwives made a decision to put their hope in God. They decided that they were not going to let their fear of consequences grip them, and so they were able to stand firm, and God blessed them. However, that only emboldened the Pharaoh even more, and he took what you would think is egregious, and he took it to another level. And so we're going to read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, it's a long verse, so I won't have to put that on a slide. But we're gonna read it together. So in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we're gonna read about another mom and how she decided to put her hope in God. Now in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it reads, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. Her name is Jochebed, which can be found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, he hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby, and he was crying. and she felt sorry for him. "This is the one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the women took the baby and nursed him. Then the child grew older. She took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Again, just to give you context, because the midwives decided they were not going to carry out Pharaoh's order, Pharaoh, in his fear, again, decided, not only am I going to have the firstborn, I want all sons to go. And so he told everyone to do this. So now it was not just given to the midwives, it was given to all people. So now you imagine, now every family is scrambling. You can imagine what that would have looked like. And I don't want to have to sit here and paint a picture for you. But now, here is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And she looked at her son, and I love this, right? It says that she saw that he was a fine child, and she hid him. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, so don't lie. Every mom thinks their child is fine. Don't lie. You I've never seen a mom go, "Well, you look like your daddy." No. She saw something in him. Something when she held him and looked in his face, something signifying something divine about him. Not just his looks, but there was something about him that stood out, that made her realize that the hand of God is on this child. And so she hid him as long as she could, and then she decided she's gonna send him down the Nile. Now, some of us might sit here and think, "Wow, she was so afraid that she did this." But by the time we're done with this sermon, you're gonna realize that wasn't faith that motivated her to do that. But yet, that's what she did. She took the child and put him in a makeshift basket. You know, and then she decided to put him down the Nile. Again, she knew something was special about him. And I think about our moms, you always look at your child as there's something special about them. There's a way that you look at your kids that it can't be matched. And so I can only imagine for myself, if I was an infant, if I could remember, you know, what my mom saw when she held me for the first time. Like, I hope she thought I was special. I hope she thought I was fine. But no, this woman, Jochebed, decided she was going to hide Moses. That was hope. She was looking at the future. She was not being gripped by the moment. Hope led Jochebed to hide Moses. Hope led Jochebed to put him in a papyrus basket and coated it with tar and pitch, because that's what mothers do. You guys are always doing something out of nothing. You're always crafty. So I'm not surprised that Jochebed was able to pull this off. It was hope that led Moses to Pharaoh's daughter. It was hope that led Miriam, his sister, to suggest a Hebrew woman to nurse him. It was hope that the Hebrew woman to be none other than Jochebed herself. Imagine that. She in hope, she sent her son off, and hope brought her right back to her son. This is the power of moms. This is the hope that you have when you have your hope in God. This is what it looks like when your fear of God is greater than your circumstance, greater than your tough times, greater than the challenges that you face in life, because you will face them. Mother's been facing challenges all the way back from the garden. Eve had to make some tough decisions as a mom. So it's no surprise that you will also make those tough decisions. But because of the women like Jochebed and like Puah and like Shifra, you have examples that you can look to be inspired by Because God has orchestrated all these things. Even the tough times that you experience, He's orchestrated it so that your eyes can look to Him. And that you can find your strength in Him. And that you can put your hope in Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, many of us consider this book, this chapter, like the hall of faith. This is where all the great ones that are recognized by their faith gets added, right? And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." You see, remember I told you, for some, you can argue it was out of fear that she sent her son on this makeshift papyrus boat out of a basket, and she sent them down the Nile. But because we're about to talk about what faith looks like, it helps us understand that she was looking to the future. She was assured of what she could not see. She was assured of it. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23, it says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and that they were not afraid of the king's edict. This is the encouragement for our mothers, that you can place your hope in God, that despite the challenges, despite how grave the circumstance is, there is still room for you to make those decisions that puts you in line with God, that He would carry you, that just like Jochebed, just like Puah, and just like Shiphrah, that you can see beyond now. This is the encouragement. This is what God has to tell you today, that you can look beyond now and have a hope that's not today, it's down the line. But you know that your Father, who has never broken a promise, will not break His promise with you. This is the encouragement for every mother that I hope that are hearing this message today, that your future glory will always outweigh your current fears and your difficult circumstances. Shiphrah, Puah, and Jochebed were moms who were convinced that God will provide a way through the wilderness of fear. You are strong and courageous. Every dad and every son and daughter can look at their moms and say, "You are strong and courageous because you're my mom." And for those of us who moms aren't here, I understand that for some, this could be a time of celebration, or you may choose to honor your moms who are not here in heart or in spirit. But again, the same goes, that there is a hope. There is a place that you can place all of that into your Father, and that He will carry out what He says that He'll carry out. And so as I close out today, my hope is that you are encouraged, moms, because we love you. We adore you. We cherish you. We see the many hats that you wear. We understand the sweat and tears that you put in for being a mom. And so we thank you for taking that mantle. Thank you that you've decided to continue the course and continue to plant seeds, not only into your own kids, but the kids and of the children of the community, that you've still chosen to do so. So we thank you for that. And so in a few minutes, you know, we're gonna get a chance to see a young woman who's ready to place her hope and her fears and her faith and her life in God's hands. Kiana Mitchell, a college student, will be getting baptized this morning. And so I'm about to wrap this up. And so what I would like is that for parents who have kids in our children's ministry, to please go ahead and leave now. Go ahead and pick them up so we can relieve our service teams. And we want the kids to come on up. They always get the VIP section right here in the corner. We want them to see these baptisms. And so we're going to sing two songs. And then at that time, we'll go ahead and have our baptism.
All right, let's give Kenzen another hand.